afternoon, devotees, is share with you some of the pastimes of Mahavendra Puri with the deities of Gopal and Gopinath, two special deities. Now, one of the specialities of Mahavendra Puri, as we heard, was that he traveled mostly alone because he didn't want to get caught up in, what you could say, other people's things. Usually you get caught up either in your own things or other people's things. But because he had in his heart a very deep relationship with Krishna, he didn't have his own things to get caught up in, and he preferred not to also just chatter away with a companion. He travels alone. Now, this incident, this is an excerpt that I found on the folio of a book, an unpublished book by Srila Prabhupada called Vajitani, the Sannyas and Sankirtan Movement. And within that particular pamphlet of this book, there's a section on Mahavendra Puri that tells this story, which is also told in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But this is Srila Prabhupada's writing, perhaps well before the Chaitanya Charitamrita, so it has also a nice feel to it, telling the same story. So he begins by explaining that Krishna is not, one should not think of the deity, he's just made of stone or grass. We're looking at a grass idol, Prabhupada says. They will say, we will put these idols and we're wasting so much time feeding them and dressing them. What is this? But he says, no, you shouldn't think like this, that the deity is made of stone. He says, although Krishna is everything, he is also in the stone. And Krishna in the deity form is not the kind of stone that cannot act. Normally stone, it can't do anything. You can carve it if you want. You can tile your floors with stone, but the stone itself has no volition, it has no power to do anything. But when Krishna appears in the form of stone as a deity, he can act, he's active, and he's very, very loving. So Prabhupada, it says, rather he can act as the Supreme Lord, even in his stone form. As you give more service to Krishna, he will even speak to you. So here is an example in the life of Mahavendra Puri. So when Lord Chaitanya, we would say perhaps less than 100 years after Mahavendra Puri, Lord Chaitanya has come by this stage through his childhood pastimes, and he has taken sannyas. And he's now traveling on his way from Mayapur Navadvipam through the various provinces of Bengal and then Orissa on his way to Jagannath Puri, because at the request of his mother, he has agreed that he will make his residence, his headquarters in Jagannath Puri. So as he's passing through the various provinces, and there were many difficulties to be faced because there was a Muslim government at that time. There was a lot of corruption, personal bribes, taxes to be paid, tolls, and so on and so forth. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was oblivious to all of this. After all, he's the Supreme Lord. But as well as that, because he's the Supreme Lord in the form, in the mood of an exalted devotee, he's lost in the mood of love of Krishna. And so all the various problems along his way, he's not really very much in touch with them. And finally, he arrives in Ramuna. So Ramuna is just on the border. It's in Orissa, it's on the border of Bengal. And when he arrives in Ramuna, he has four friends with him because the Bhattacharya requested four people to go with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was going to Puri. So does anyone know who they were? It was. Does anyone know? Nityananda Prabhu was one. Hardas Thakur no, Jagannath Jagannanda Pandit was the second one. Damodar Pandit was the third one. And the fourth one was Mukunda Datta. So these four associates of the Lord, they accompanied him. So when he came to Yamuna, as anyone who would visit Yamuna even today would find that there was, at that time, even a temple there. And when he came into the temple, he paid his obeisances very, very wholeheartedly to the deity there, whose name is Shakshikapalma. Kheer Chor Gopina. And to this day, the deity's name is Kheer Chor Gopinath. Gopinath, who was a chor, he stole kheer. His devotee, he stole the sweet rice. So when Lord Chaitanya came to this particular temple, he became very, very moved by ecstatic emotions as he was chanting and dancing. And then he sat down in front of this deity and he told his four friends the story of this particular temple and this particular deity. Now you have to sit down all the way. Very good. Okay. Very good. And he told them how, because he had heard this story from his spiritual master. And what Chaitanya's spiritual master is? Ishwarapuri. And Ishwarapuri's spiritual master is? Madhavendrapuri. So Madhavendrapuri is the Karam Guru of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the story is, and here I will start to read, and you can hear from Srila Prabhupada. Lord Chaitanya related that Madhavendrapuri always remained in trance and chose to wander alone, unaccompanied by his disciples. When Madhavendrapuri was once visiting King Vrindavan, he was sitting underneath a tree by the side of Govardhan Hill. He did not have any food. When a young, beautiful cowherd boy appeared before him with a pot of milk in his hand, a pot of milk, this way, he had milk in the pot, and he offered it to Madhavendrapuri. The cowherd boy inquired from Madhavendrapuri why he was not asking for any alms, why he did not beg anything to eat. And he also asked what he did in his meditation. The Swami Madhavendrapuri was very pleased to see the beauty of the cowherd boy, and he immediately forgot all about his hunger and his thirst. He asked the young boy, "Where do you live? And how did you know that I was hungry?" The boy replied, "I am a resident of Govardhan Hill, and no one in my jurisdiction becomes hungry. Some of the village women had seen him underneath the tree without food, and they had conveyed this news to me." Saying this, he gave him the milk, and he left without further delay on the plea that he had to go and milk his cows. So Puri Swami, as Prabhupada calls him, drank the milk left by the cowherd boy and waited in vain for him to return to take back his pot. He sat down under the same tree the whole night, chanting the holy names of Krishna. And at the end of the night, while he was lightly sleeping, he had a dream. And the same boy came, took him by his hand, and took him to a place congested with creepers and plants. The boy explained that he had to live in that hedge for a very long time, and he was suffering through the winter. Just imagine, we have a little winter cold. He's out in the forest, out in the trees, hidden in the dirt and the bushes. He had to suffer through the winter and then the summer and the rainy seasons without any adequate shelter. He was just waiting, he said, for Madhavendrapuri's arrival, for he intended to expose himself to the eyes of the people in general by accepting Madhavendrapuri's loving service. know who is the driver of the car? Okay. So you'll take care of this? Thank you. So the deity takes the form of a boy. He's a deity made of stone. The deity is a stone to the act. So he takes the form of a young boy. And he will reveal that actually he's a deity. Is he a deity or is he a young boy? What do you think? I think he must be both. So this is actually true of the deity. And so this story of Madhavendrapuri, two deities, intimately related with them. It's a very, very wonderful story for us because we also have deities. Maybe we have deities at home. And we have deities in the Melbourne temple. And we may not know how much reciprocation they're capable of giving to us if we were to approach them with a loving sentiment. So, Prabhupada says, the transcendental cowherd boy agreed to come within the view of the general public in his Acha Murti, or his deity form, because he was pleased with the loving devotion of Madhavendra Puri. The Acha Murti of Godhead is not therefore an idol fashioned by an iconographa. The Acha Murti is potent and has all the transcendental qualities of the absolute Godhead. But one can perceive them only through, what do you think? Only through devotional service, loving service. You've got it right. Some people have the love, you've got the service. And devotion, loving service. You can perceive the deity's actually, Krishna is present there. So Srila Prabhupada goes on to explain the story. So after he came to the dream, he explained to Madhavendra Puri, he took Madhavendra Puri by the hand in the dream. And he said, I want to show you where I live. He showed him in the jungle what it was like, how he was living. And Madhavendra Puri was very concerned. And he said to him, please go back to the village and invite everybody to come and take me out of here. And put me in a beautiful temple on top of Govardhana Hill. And he asked him, who are you? He said, I am Gopal. I am the lifter of Govardhana Hill. He said, here in Vrindavan, I am the authority. So, we'll see this in a moment. So the next morning, Prabhupada Goswami approached the villagers of Vrindavan and asked them to help him extricate the Acha Murti of Gopal, who was in the dense forest. The villagers gladly followed him and cleared the way for him to enter the place where he pointed out. He pointed the way and they went with him. When the tangle of plants and creepers was removed, the weighty figure of Godhead was found. And some of the strongest amongst the men put their shoulders together and carried the deity to the top of the hill of Govardhana, where the deity was set on a big throne of stone and supported by another big stone from behind. Very simple arrangement. One stone here, one stone there, and this beautiful Gopal deity was put on this platform. And this very self-same Gopal is now worshipped in India. Does anyone know who that Gopal is, where you can go to see him? Srinathji and Nathdwar. If you go to Nathdwar, you will see Srinathji. And I heard a couple of places Srinathji Prabhupada was speaking, he said, this Nathdwar, Nathji, when you go to that temple, if you take darshan there, you'll see that there are many big paintings on the wall. Balacharya, who's the acharya of the Balav Sampradaya, uncovering the Nathji deity. And Srila Prabhupada said, actually, this deity belongs to our Gaudiya Sampradaya. He said, it was decided in court. And someone asked Prabhupada at that time, but what was the case? You know, who represented the Gaudiya Sampradaya? And Prabhupada said, no, it was not like that. There was some dispute. Some came into their own order So one time I heard that Srila Prabhupada said, there is so much evidence that if we wanted to, we could go there and we could take back that deity and say, here's the deity of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. And then he said, I would never do that because they take care of you so nicely. If you go to Nathdwara, you'll see that Sri Nathji, he's the life of those people who live there and of many other people who come. And for those who haven't been there or may not go there, the most striking thing about the temple is they strictly segregate the men and the women. Men can go in one time, women can go in another time. And the reason they separate them so firmly is the same reason they separate the men and women on a Mumbai train system. It's such a violent experience to see the deity. You can't mix the men and the women together. So what they do is they have a certain time for the men and a certain time for the women, and the men go first. And the reason the men go first is because the women are so fierce that if they let the women go first, they didn't get a chance at all. So what they do is they all line up and they have a gate. And it looks like here in Australia, you know, it's a football crowd. And you have a gateway, and there's many, many people coming, and they're all sitting around waiting, whatever the time is, someone comes to open the gate, and they're running there. It's the most extraordinary, spontaneous experience. And these elderly men, and they're running, because they have to catch a train. And they rush into the temple. And they stand in front of the deity, and the whole time in front of the deity, they're pushing and pushing and pushing to get closer. And you serve the crowd backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards. And if you're not in the mood, it's the most disturbing experience. And if you are in the mood, it's the most amazing thing. It's like surfing. Because you just get pushed this way, pushed that way. And they just push you around. And they're not necessarily so friendly that they push you automatically towards the front. But if you're determined enough, you push yourself towards the front and they let you go. Because they admire it. They admire this spirit, this fighting spirit. And they come, these are people who see the deity every day. But they come with such enthusiasm, such eagerness to see Sri Nathji. It's quite amazing. And I noticed when we went, I grabbed hold of the bar. And I go, oh, this way. I have gotten into the bar, and I managed to stay in front of the deity for quite some time. And if you're just a sort of casual visitor, and you don't have any feeling, then you just push right through and get 2 second flat. You have to have some taste. This is the Rajasthani spirit. Rajasthan is like that. You have to have some taste. So this is where our Gopal has ended up attracting large crowds from all over the world to come and see him daily. But at this time, he was lost in the jungle. Nobody knew about him. So the strongest man took him out and put him up on the stone, and all the villagers were somehow informed of the deity's presence. And they came there in large numbers. The brahmanas bringing with them new earthen pots full of strained water from Govinda Kund. The water pots were 100 in number, and a festival ensued. And dance performed, and the women sang, and some of the people began to dance. Anyone who's been in Vrindavan during the colorful season, the special season in which the ladies of Vrindavan dance, they get completely, they turn their heads and they dance round and round and round and round in circles. And it's very, very, makes the heart very happy. It's very spontaneous. They have a spontaneity about them. But you see here in Australia or in other parts of the world, people have a spontaneity towards technology. You sit down spontaneously, they talk for hours about this and that, that, this and this and that. And their eyes light up and they get very excited. Dear, you get excited about the deity. So just imagine your function. You can imagine, we know for ourselves what we get spontaneous about. So imagine if we had that same spontaneity for Krishna himself. So they brought milk and curd and clarified that they had connected for the deity. And they offered sweets and they offered flowers, coffee, clothing, and so on in abundance. So might have been personally performed a preliminary abhishek, washing Gopal's body with water brought in the earthen pots, and then smearing his body all over with fragrant oils. And after the ablutions to the deity, he quickly dressed the Lord's body and decorated him in sandalwood paste, and then they began to cook a feast. And so many people came, and they cooked so much. There were 5 Brahmins to prepare vegetables, 10 Brahmins cooking rice and dal, and 7 Brahmins making chapatis. And all the food was finished up by the addition of abundant clarified butter. And what does this sound like? Yes, Govardhan Puja, very good. It sounds just like Govardhan Puja. And you know what? Govardhan Puja is celebrated all over the world. It's inaugurated by this festival to Gopal, by Mother Ganapuri. He actually established the Anukuta of the Govardhan festival that we have every year in the temple. But here again, Mother Ganapuri is so important for us. They cooked. The Anukut was again revived by Puri Maharaj in the same place that Krishna had offered the Anukut when he was worshipping Govardhan in Anior. That's where Gopal came. And that was the same place again where the foodstuff was being offered to Gopal. So in this way, the ceremony was revived. And the personality of Godhead, who had been hungry for a long time, before Mother Ganapuri's arrival, and all the transcendental foodstuffs to his heart's content. And although Gopal ate all the food, he did not even one bit of it. He again restored it all by a transcendental touch of his hand. So when we see the offering being offered to the deities, sometimes we forget this. But the offering is accepted when the Lord restores it again, because our empiric senses, our eyes, our ears, our understanding of things doesn't work like that. I sit there, I see some words, and it's still there. But actually, those who can see something different. Prabhupada says, only Puri Maharaj perceived this spiritual process, for Gopal was unable to conceal his inconceivable acts from an associate like Mother Ganapuri. So then all of the foodstuffs were offered, and everything was very nicely. And then another image came, just like if you're in any sacred place, Jagannath Puri, Mayapur, Vrindavan, you'll see this bus stuff comes, and all the people from the village come. They're coming to take some pilgrimage. They'll get out of the bus, they'll have their belongings on their head. It's all they've been with them, just so they can carry on their head. They easily rush from people to people to people to people, and then they go back into the bus and go somewhere else. Whole villages come. Just imagine if all of Albert Park is going to come to the temple one day with offerings to the deities. How spontaneous and happy everybody would be. So this is what happened. And in Braj, of course, everybody loves Gopal. So one village would come, another village would come, and when they would see the lavish offerings being made, they would say, we want to do like that also. So from our village for the next week, we will supply all the ghee, all the rice, all the atta flour, all the dal, we will supply everything, and please make an offering on our behalf to Gopal. So they would, and then again, and then again. And this continued. And it continued for a very long time. The villagers would come, one after another. And eventually, 2 brahmanas came from Bengal. And Madhavendrapuri initiated them. And he entrusted them as the pujaris to take care of Gopal. So 2 years passed like this. 2 years. Very peacefully, very happy. Everything was very nice. And one night, Puri Maharaj again dreamed that Gopal was speaking to him. Gopal said to Mother Ganapuri that his body was suffering from heat and would not 5. He said he could not be relieved unless he received grace from Samuel, grown in Malaya, and that should be applied all over his body. He ordered Puri Maharaj to take responsibility for this, since it was available in Neelachal, in Puri. For this personally, he should go and execute this task. Madhavendra Puri was an elderly man. He's going to walk all the way from Vrindavan to Jagannath Puri. When we go to India, we go a train. Or if it's more time important, we go on a plane. And if we go on a train, that's very fast still, much faster than walking, and it will take you 36 hours. And sometimes 48 hours if it stops, if the train stops on the way. So Madhavendra Puri walked that way. He didn't eat. He didn't ask anyone to eat. He didn't acknowledge that he didn't eat. He was perfectly happy. What was he tasting that could give him the strength and the happiness and the peace of mind and the ecstasy to be able to actually do this? And this is what we should inquire as we're hearing about this pastime. What was he actually experiencing? Do you know? Tell me what you think. He was experiencing love, yes. He was experiencing love. So on the way, he went to Navadvip. And there he met a Dvaitaracharya. And he initiated a Dvaitaracharya in Shantipur at that time. And that's very important because we'll hear about that later. When he initiated a Dvaitaracharya, he visited Jagannath Mishra's house. He visited other Vaishnavas. They all understood that he was a very exalted personality. And he proceeded on in the same way that Lord Chaitanya is proceeding with his four friends, and he arrived in Yamuna. So when he got there, he asked Chaitanya Brahman what foodstuffs were offered to the deity. And he was greatly pleased to see the opulent arrangements there. He was thinking he could make the same offerings to his Gopal at Govardhan. And the Brahman informed him of the kind of condensed milk Kelly, that was regularly daily offered to the deity in the evening. The milk was offered in 12 earthen pots, and its taste was unknown in this world. It was exquisite. So Puri Maharaj was thinking, it would be very nice to offer this to Gopal, such a special offering. And he thought to himself, why could taste come of that? He was so refined. His taste. He said, if I could taste that, I would be able to understand how it was made. If I could understand how it was made, I would make it for Gopal. But then he realized that, oh, he became ashamed because he realized that the offering was just about to take place and he was thinking like this. And this was as if he felt he was an offender. He was going to taste the deity's God. So he felt very, very bad. And he decided to leave the temple without anybody's knowledge. So again, this is a point that Srila Prabhupada says. Puri Maharaj never asked anyone for food. And if no one offered him any, he always fasted. Yes, he never felt hungry or exhausted, for he was always fully tasting nectar by remembering his Lord. So coming out of the temple, he sat down underneath a tree in the village marketplace. There he began quietly to chant. Meanwhile, the attendants of the deity put the deity to rest, and he went to sleep himself. And then Prabhupada says, that in a dream, one of the servants of the priests saw Gopinath. This is Gopinath from Yamuna. And Gopinath came to him and asked him to wake up. He said that he should open the door of the temple and search for a pot that he had hidden behind his clothing. So Gopinath asked the priest to find the pot. He had kept it for Madhavendra Puri, who was sitting in the marketplace under a tree. Just imagine how much the deity loved. Gopinath loved Madhavendra Puri. How pure was his desire. He was the but how pure was his desire that the deity made such an arrangement. So he got up, he found the clay pot, he was very astonished, thinking, how auspicious is this? This great devotee, and he ran to the marketplace, calling his name, and he found Mother Venerable, and he gave him the pot, and he told him that the deity had made this arrangement, and how fortunate he was. Mother Indra Puri took the pot. He thought, I will take this and I will break it. Every day I will eat a small piece of this pot. But in the morning, people hear about this. They will want to come and see me. I think, oh, this person is very famous. Look what the deity has done. So he said, he decided immediately to leave Ramona, thinking of the people who crowd around him when they came to know of the story. He was very much reluctant to be flattered by others for having the reputation as a perfect devotee. We know that all conditioned souls, says Srila Prabhupada, are envious of one another. Anyone who becomes famous for an act of goodness is sure to be envied by his fellow men. Indeed, a really reputable man is more likely to be mistreated than praised. Although our envious human society sometimes just disapproves of one who out of sheer humility does not desire to be recognized. So here is the principle, out of envy. And also he didn't want any praise, any flattery. So he quickly left. So devotees like Madhavendra Puri are not even anxious to be recognized by God himself. They have no interest in this. So he tried to escape from such recognition, although in fact he was actually credited with the highest recognition because he justly deserved it. One should not, however, falsely imitate his humble behavior to try to get indirect recognition from others. He offered his obeisances to the Buddha, and he left the Puri, which took him a considerable amount of time walking on foot. And when he got there, he saw Lord Jagannath. He became very, very happy to see Lord Jagannath. And he fell down in happiness in front of Lord Jagannath. But his reputation had got to Jagannath Puri before him. And so even though he was trying to hide from fame, everybody knew about him. And so they treated him with great respect. And when he explained to them what he needed, what he had come to do, he made all arrangements for him. And he expressed his mission and disclosed the story of the path of Govardhan. So they took all care of him, they arranged for somebody. He was now going to turn back and walk all the way to Vrindavan. He had kilos and kilos and kilos of sandalwood to carry. They gave him an assistant, but he was going to have to go through so many toll booths and they had to check in, he had necessary papers that he might ask for a bride. And all these inconveniences he didn't care. He was ready to now return to Govardhan and give all this sandalwood to his beloved Gopal. But on the way, he again reached the town of Ramona, and there again he stopped to see Gopinath. Now, I'm not going to tell you the rest of the story. The reason is because we need to have to see the slideshow, and we'll know it all already, and we'll be really boring if we've just heard the whole story and we have to see it again. So I'm going to leave a little bit for everyone to see in the form of the slideshow. Now, this is Madhavendra Puri. I'll just read a little more about him. Prabhupada says, once he came and related this lengthy story of Madhavendra Puri before his companions, in order to teach us that factual service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is performed in the mode of transcendental separation. He gave the example of the transcendental activities of Madhavendra Puri because he is the original authority in the line of spiritual preceptorial succession. So that's what we were speaking about this morning. That Madhavendra Puri is linked between Madhava and Gaudiya. Lord Chaitanya is the personification of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. He is the emblem of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. It's the teachings of Lord Chaitanya that we follow. But to connect here is Madhavendra Puri. So he is also considered to be like a sprout. A sprout comes up from the ground, and later a very beautiful tree occurs. Madhavendra Puri is like a small sprout of the spontaneous devotion for Krishna. Not caring anything for yourself. Not interested in taking anything from God. Only interested in giving to Him. And experiencing this root of separation at the same time. To renounce the world so completely, he traveled thousands of miles from Govardhan to collect sandalwood to carry out the order of Gopal. Madhavendra Puri set this example to establish the truth that by taking leave of worldly activities is a negative side of sannyas, and the positive side is engaging oneself fully in the service of the Absolute Whole. So this doesn't only apply in Bhagavad Gita also, we hear that sannyas isn't just somebody who doesn't light a fire, who doesn't have any worldly activities. But sannyas is something of the renounced spirit that nothing belongs to me and everything belongs to Krishna. So that's nothing is a negative word, right? No, nothing, nil. They're all on the negative side. So what's the opposite of nothing? Something, everything. Yes. And no, what is the opposite? Yes. And nil? Full. So, yes. Everything. Full. This is how a devotee's heart becomes when he's fortunate enough to be blessed with mercy of Krishna in the form of his holy name, of the process of Krishna consciousness, and the strength to apply that process to his own life situation. And Prabhupada says it may take some time. It's not easy. But then he also says it is easy. It's not easy in the sense that this is something that we just take this process up and immediately all our problems disappear. And we have only happiness from then on, and we don't have to make any effort. It's not easy in that way. But it is easy in the sense that the process is very potent and it works. And if we take to it, we'll be able to see it ourselves. And if we can see it for ourselves, that gives us the additional impetus to keep going. It's like if someone is trying to save money, and they have their wages are going automatically into their bank account. And they forget about this. They're going on with their day-to-day activities. And maybe 6 months, a year goes by, and you look at your account and you see, oh, I have so much money. And if you're interested in accumulating money, that gives you impetus. Oh, this is good. I should keep doing this. I'll put more money aside. And one becomes even more determined if one's desire is to save money. If one's desire is to enjoy spending money, then I think, oh, this is very good. I have a little money, and let me spend all of that, and then we'll sort things out later. So the person who is thinking that enjoyment of this world is the real purpose of his life, he will tend not to save for the future, and also not to save for the very, very future. And somebody who actually has some understanding and some experience, they tend to want to accumulate more and more in their bhakti processes. So for them, Madhavendra Puri is very important. Now, I can tell you a little bit about this deity, who later, after his pastime took place, he from then on has been known as Chirachara Gopina because of Madhavendra Puri. And Madhavendra Puri's samadhi is in Vaimuna. Goes to Vaimuna, you can see the place of Madhavendra Puri there. And Madhavendra Puri's places are in Vaimuna and by the side of Govardhan. There by the side of Govardhan, you'll see a little Pratibhu, a later established deity of Gopal. There is a temple just by the side of Govardhan colors worship there in the spirit of Mother than before. So I found some notes also about Ramona for those who would like to hear before we start the prophet show. That this deity, it is said by, there is one book written by a disciple of Rasikanand. Rasikanand was a disciple of Shyamananda Pandit. Shyamananda Pandit was a disciple of Sri Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami, of course, is one of the six Goswamis. He is one of the preeminent followers of Lord Chaitanya himself. So Rasikanand had a disciple called Keshavananda, and he wrote a book giving the history of this deity. And it is said that in Treta Yuga, one time in Chitrakoot, where Ram and Sita were wandering in the forest, they came across a goshala. And they saw some cows in this ashram. And Ram became very happy to see the cows. And smilingly looking at the cows, he said, "These cows remind me of my past times in Kali Yuga." And Sita said, "What do you mean? Can you tell me about these past times?" And Lord Ram said, "You just wait 1 week. With my arrow, I will carve some pictures of those past times on this black rock, and then you can see them." 4 days passed. And Sita Devi became very impatient. She said, "I can't wait any longer. You must show me what you have done." And to please her, Lord Ram then showed her the carvings. He had completed a deity of Gopal Krishna, whose back was still attached to the stone. And on the stone itself were drawings of Krishna's 8 main gopi friends, and 4 maid servants of the gopis, and also 12 cows, and Lord Balaram resting with Mustika, and Krishna resting with Chamura, and a few other scenes. It was all on this carved rock. So when Sita saw this, she was very happy to see this. And they began to worship this Gopal deity in Chitrakoot. And then when Ram and Sita left, Ram himself, it is said, he came and took care of that deity. Right through Dwapara Yuga and right through until Kali Yuga, the deity was attended to. When Ramachandra returned to India from Lanka after killing the demon Ravana, he stopped for 4 days at the place that is now known as Yamuna. Sita Devi wanted to bathe there in the Ganges, so Lord Ram shot 7 arrows into the ground and brought forth the Ganges. And today this place is called Saptasar, or 7 arrows. The deity of Shiva known as Gangeshwar was later installed there. So this is the extraordinary nature actually of India. Now when we talk about India and you see the flag, it's not very exciting. At least it's not very exciting to somebody who's not born in India. Isn't it a patriotic society when we glorify India? We're not interested in that. Because that's material, that's mundane. "Oh, I'm an Australian, I'm an Indian, I'm an American." So people have criticized this as a bodily concept. "I'm born in India, so I love India." But India is also a transcendental country and has so many transcendental attributes that modern day India is embarrassed about. It hides. In many ways, it tries to discourage young people of today from knowing these things. Thinks that they're mythological. Thinks that they're all just made up stories by somebody. And so India today has lost its connection with its own culture and heritage. And Srila Prabhupada came out from India as the greatest ambassador that India has ever known. He traveled throughout the whole world and glorified Vedic culture, not modern-day Indian culture. And if you listen to Srila Prabhupada speaking in Hyderabad, in Ahmedabad, in Bombay, you'll hear him very strongly countering the contemporary religious views of modern Indians. He speaks against impersonal theories, he speaks against this Swami and that Swami and this yoga and this path and so on and so forth. And he establishes in every case firmly that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and he is to be worshipped. So this is actually the culture of India. So then, the deity of Shiva was later installed, and nearby the deity of Durga was there, and these deities are still there to this day. So then, when Lord Ramachandra left that place, it became known as Ramana, because it was the place of Ramana, a pleasure for Ram. And then eventually over time, Ramana became Ramuna. In the 15th century, the deity of Gopal was brought to that place known as Ramuna. And there, the king who brought him there, he established him there. And then the queen, when she saw the carvings of all the gopis on the black stone, she decided that he should be called Gopinath, or the Lord of the Gopis. And then, soon after the time of Lord Chaitanya, there were some locals who were taking and destroying the deities and temples, and the deity was hidden for some time in a pond nearby. And it was Vasikananda, who was a very great personality, who re-established the deity of Kirchhoro Gopinath and maintained the worship of Gopinath from then on. So anyone who is interested in visiting that deity, they have a very nice guest house there. And it's not very difficult to get there. If you catch a train from Calcutta, it's very simple to get there. Just reach your ride. I think perhaps there are people who have been to see Kirchhoro Gopinath. Yes, there's a hand over there. So all of these personalities, all these pastimes are meant for our benefit, so that we can hear. And by hearing about these greater personalities in ourselves, our faith is increased. And as our faith increases, then our devotion will grow. And as our devotion grows, our doubts subside. And instead of saying no, nothing, we say yes, full. We become positive. We don't just see that we have less and less and less material desires. We see I have more and more and more and more spiritual happiness. So I'll stop here and perhaps we can, if our computer will allow us, we can just look at a short puppet show. It's a little simple in today's modern technological age, but it's sometimes nice to see something as well as to hear. This puppet show was made about 20 years ago.
Once, after walking all day, Madhavendra Puri, the guru of Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master, arrived at Govardhan Hill in Vrindavan. Almost mad with love for Krishna, he danced and chanted in ecstasy. He first circumambulated Govardhan and then bathed in Govinda Kund. Since he never asked anyone for food, Madhavendra Puri then sat beneath a tree to take his evening rest.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Here is some milk for you. Please drink it.
Oh, where did you come from? Who are you?
Sir, I am a cowherd boy, and I live in this village. Why don't you beg some food to eat? Why are you fasting?
How did you know that I was fasting?
Oh, some women came to the nearby well to get water, and they saw you, and then they gave me this milk to give it to you.
Which women?
In my village, some people beg food from others and eat. And some people drink only milk, but no one fasts. If, however, someone does not ask anyone for food, I personally supply him with all he needs.
Hearing your sweet words, I have forgotten both hunger and thirst.
I must go to milk my cows, but I shall soon return to collect my milk pot from you.
I wonder when that beautiful boy will return. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oh, where is that beautiful boy? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. He doesn't seem to be returning. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
That night, Madhavendra Puri could not sleep, and he sat and chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Then, towards night's end, he dozed, and as his external activities stopped, he dreamed.
Madhavendra Puri, Madhavendra Puri, come, come with me.
Oh, where are you taking me?
Look. Here in this bush.
Here?
Yes. This is where I live. And because I live here, I suffer from severe cold, rain, wind, and scorching heat.
Oh.
Please gather people from the village and carry them out of this bush. Then bring me to the top of Govardhan Hill.
All right.
Construct a temple on top of the hill and store me in it. And cleanse me with great amounts of cool water.
I shall do it.
For many days I have been watching you and wondering, when will Madhavendra Puri come to serve me?
Who are you, oh beautiful boy?
My name is Gopal, and I am the lifter of Govardhan Hill. I was installed by Varja, the grandson of Lord Krishna. Here in Vrindavan, I am the authority.
But how did you get in this bush?
Once when Mohammedans attacked, the priest who served me hid me here, and fearing for his own safety, he fled.
Oh.
Since then, I've stayed here. Now please, remove me with great care.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. I had the most wonderful dream of Krishna. It was Krishna who had brought me that milk before. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. In my dream, Krishna gave me some instructions. I must carefully consider how to carry them out. First I'll bathe, then I'll get help to recover Gopal. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Everyone, please listen. The owner of this village, Gopal, who is the lifter of Govardhan Hill, is buried nearby. We'll need shovels and machetes to clear the way through the dense jungle. Shri Gopal is very uncomfortable now, so let's go quickly and rescue him.
I'm ready to go immediately.
Oh, wait till I get my shovel.
Let's all go.
This way. Follow me. This way. Follow me. Over here. Look, here is Gopal.
He's wonderful.
Amazing.
What beauty.
Let's uncover Gopal.
But how can we move him? He's huge.
I'll get more help.
No, 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 you're strong. Just help lift.
Gopal to the top of Govardhan Hill. And then we'll hold a big festival to install him.
After installing Gopal upon a throne on Govardhan Hill, the villagers bathed him and smeared his body with fragrant oils. They gorgeously dressed Gopal and offered him incense, lamps, flowers, and food. soon, news of Gopal's appearance spread and people came from miles away to see his wonderful beauty. Eventually, two Brahmins in the renounced order arrived from Bengal, and Madhavendra Puri first initiated them, and then entrusted them with the daily worship of the Lord. Thus, the deity worship was opulently performed for 2 years, and Madhavendra Puri was pleased. Then, one day...
Madhavendra Puri, please listen. When you installed me, hundreds of pots of water were offered. But because I had been buried for so many years, I still feel hot. My bodily temperature has not yet gone down. Gather sandalwood from Malaya, and then to cool me, smear the pulp upon my body. Yes, quickly, go to Jagannath Puri and bring me sandalwood.
Gopal has requested sandalwood. I'll arrange that the deity worship will continue, and then I'll take up Gopal's order at once.
Madhavendra Puri began his long journey by first traveling east. He walked and walked towards Bengal, and after passing from Santipur, he headed south. As he neared Jagannath Puri, he stopped in the town of Ramuna and visited the temple of Gopinath. Upon seeing the beauty of the deity, Madhavendra Puri was overwhelmed.
Hare Krishna. Beautiful. Oh, Brahmin, your standard of worship is superb.
Simply the mercy of Gopinath.
The prasadam you offer looks sumptuous. Oh, what recipes do you use? I would like to cook similar offerings for Gopal.
We only offer Gopinath the finest foods, and the best of all is his evening offering of special sweet rice served in 12 earthen pots. Because the sweet rice tastes like nectar, we call it Amrita Kelly. Nothing like it is offered anywhere else in the world.
Mm-hmm. That sweet rice should also be offered to Gopal.
Please wait a moment. It's time for me to offer that sweet rice now.
If this pujari would only give a little sweet rice to me, I would know how to prepare it for Lord Gopal. Oh, what have I done? I've desired to eat food meant for Gopinath's pleasure. This is certainly an offense. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
Gopinath ki jai. Gopinath ki jai.
Where has that sadhu gone? I've no time to look for him now. I must take the offering away, clean up, and put Gopinath to rest. Gopinath.
Finishing his daily duties, the priest went to sleep. While resting, the deity Gopinath came to him in a dream.
Please get up and open the deity room curtain. I have hidden a pot of sweet rice for the sannyasi who was here before. The pot is just behind my cloth. You cannot see it because of my tricks. The sannyasi's name is Madhavendra Puri, and he is sitting in the Vedic marketplace. Take the pot of sweet rice and deliver it to him. I think it wise to bathe and look inside the deity room. Yes, it's here. A pot of sweet rice. Gopinath has stolen it. I must immediately find Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri! Madhavendra Puri! Please come and take the sweet rice that Lord Gopinath has stolen! Will the sannyasi named Madhavendra Puri come and take the sweet rice? You are the most fortunate person within the three worlds! Madhavendra Puri! Madhavendra Puri!
You have been calling me?
Here. Take this. Gopinath stole this for you. After the arti had finished and you left, I removed the offering and put Gopinath to rest. And then I went to sleep. As I slept, Gopinath came to me and admitted hiding a
pot of sweet rice behind the cloth in the deity room. He said, look for Madhavendrapuri in the marketplace and deliver the sweet rice to him. Please take this prasadam from Lord Gopinath.
Oh, Gopinath, who can understand your kindness? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I'll break this pot into pieces and eat one piece each day and thus remember Gopinath. The Lord has stolen sweet rice for me. And tomorrow, when people hear of this, they'll begin offering me respect. I'd better leave for Jagannath Puri immediately.
After reaching Jagannath Puri and telling the devotees of Gopal's appearance and his pastime of wanting sandalwood, the devotees gathered with great pleasure. He not only supplied sandalwood, but also camphor, servants, traveling expenses, and government release papers. After gathering the supplies for Madhavendrapuri, they readied him for his trip back to Vrindavan. After several days, Madhavendrapuri reached the village of Ramuna and again stopped at Gopinath's temple. When the pujari saw Madhavendrapuri, he ecstatically served the saint, Gopinath Mahaprasad, and then had him take rest in a quiet place.
O Madhavendrapuri, I, Gopal, have already accepted all the sandalwood you have collected for me. Now just grind it together with the camphor and smear the pulp upon the body of Gopinath. Since Gopinath's body and mine are the same, smearing sandalwood pulp on Gopinath's body will reduce the temperature of my body. Do not hesitate to act according to these instructions.
Madhavendrapuri hired servants and organized that the sandalwood pulp mixed with camphor would be smeared upon Gopinath's body each day, and it was done until the entire stock was finished. Thus, both Gopinath and his Brahmin servant were pleased, and the heat disturbing Gopal was removed. One who hears this narration with faith and devotion attains the treasure of love of Godhead at the lotus feet of Krishna.
So this is just a simple little child's way of remembering these pastimes. Good for children, but also good for adults, because we have children at heart. We have a couple more minutes if anyone has any questions. Yes. Yes. Well, you see in India that there are certain deities that have been installed in a very extraordinary way. They weren't carved, for example, like Gopinath wasn't carved by a carver. Another extraordinary deity is Gopinath in Jagannath Puri, where he also was just appeared from the ground. So there are some very exceptional deities that have their own character and their own story. But generally when you have Gopal, if you have a Gopal, it means generally Krishna by himself. And when you have Radha and Krishna, it's a different rasa. So some people worship according to the mood of worshipping Radha and Krishna, and some people prefer to worship Krishna and Balaram and so forth. So what is your particular question in that regard? In a particular mood? Well, when he came to Gopal asked him, what did he say? I'm sorry, I'm not in the right mood. Yeah. Ultimately, the deity is Krishna. So the person who is worshipping the deity is worshipping in their particular mood. And Madhavendrapuri, as I said, at that particular time, there was no Radha and Krishna worship taking place, and he was the spirit. So he gave indications of this particular ecstatic feeling about Radha and Krishna. He just gave little hints, because he's just like the seed of the spirit. He's like a tree, and he has the first few leaves, just like a bush, or just like a seedling going to the ground. But then all of a sudden it bursts into this huge monstrous tree. So that was Lord Chaitanya. So he was the forerunner. He was the first person to speak of these subjects. But in a very small way compared to what was later to come. Yes. You'll have to send him an email and find out. When you find out, you can tell me. Yes. Go look at Gavin. This is just one of those things. Another of those things is the fact that although there's so many Western Vaishnavas, they cannot go inside the Jagannath temple. And we can say, why? This is because of the pandits, this is because of this or that. But actually, it's the mood of separation is there. And this is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is the mood of Madhavendra Puri. So sometimes something like that, an obstacle is placed there for some esoteric reason that it actually increases one's sensitive knowledgeability or it can turn into frustration. You know, why can't I do it? How come I can't do it? I'll show them. I'll do it. But one can actually feel, oh, I wonder what it's like to be able to see. And that depends on the individual. It's not an offense for them because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't go on top of Govardhan. So the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of respect for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they don't sit on top of Giriraj. The followers of Balabhacharya didn't walk on Govardhan because Balabhacharya didn't show a particular example. So others do, but we don't. Yes. Yes, it's likely because you see, according to the. Does anyone know? Anyone who's been up on the hill and seen? Because it's likely because you see, in the Bala Sampradaya, they have the mood that Gopal comes back every night to Govardhan. And if you've ever been on the other side of Govardhan around 6 or 7 o'clock at night at Jatipur, they dress the Sheila there, big rock. Personal deity, she's pouring milk all day constantly on the deity, the Shiva there. The Gautama have all the Srinhar of Natchi onto the Shiva himself. So they have an understanding that Gopal, he spends his time in Govardhan. Okay. Let's see if it happens. She just gave you a blessing. So thank you. Thank you. Maybe because all of us deserve to be like that.
wonderful.
I don't know offhand, like, of a deity that's said to be the restless Radhan Krishna deity, but I do know that the deities of Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami and Madan Pandit, that's Gopinath and Madan Mohan, were initially installed by Vrajanath, and they had no Radha Rani's inside them. And Jivadimata, for example, was the wife of Vrajanath, brought the Gopinath's Radharani to Vrindavan. So they must have been amongst the first. And Narottam Das Thakur established three sets of Radharani Krishna deities in Kittery at the first Gopinath festival. The exact first, I don't know, maybe they were the first. Yes. Yes. Because he's the beginning of something. Just like you when you turn on the hot water, you usually get cold water first, then it becomes warm, and then it becomes very hot. So in the beginning, it's just starting. So he was the pioneer, or the predecessor for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gift, which was like a giant Chaitanya tree with fruits going all over the world. So the Madhavendra Puri was the beginning of that. As I said, he's like the seed or the sprout. Because it is said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the converted separation, which we'll hear something about, was so esoteric that only three people could understand it. And the meaning of his verse that he was chanting when he was leaving this world. Three people. One was Madhavendra Puri. One was Chaitanya. Who was the third one? Srimati Radharani herself. So sometimes, you know, we see something, we think we understand it with our intelligence or with our reasoning powers, but we can't see dimensions of it. We have no idea of its profoundness. That's true for all of us, even when we just go into the temple in Melbourne. We can't find a way to access the profoundness of the experience. It becomes a routine. You know, so only that profound nature, the spontaneous, intense devotional nature of our relationship with Krishna will become revealed to us when we do the cleansing process. Just like if you do the cleansing and you get your health, restore your health. So, Srila Prabhupada says, the chanting, the sadhana, and the practices we do, we need to restore our spiritual health. Get rid of all these. The trouble is, the hard part for us is we're busy kind of restoring our ill health. I'm doing this and doing this, and so it doesn't seem to be. It appears to be ineffectiveness is in the process. It's not. Ineffectiveness is in our inability to relinquish our hold on our material identity and attachment and enjoyment for long enough to be able to actually take off. We are progressing because the process is so important and it takes time. The time factor is not inherent in the process. It will take 10 years to get to here. It's not inherent in the process. You can get there overnight. You can get there in a moment. You can say, yes, it's all I want. Because Krishna is responding to our desire. So because I have a desire for this and a desire for that, he's giving those two things. So our real urgent question is, how can I get a deeper desire for this? I'm spiritual. I already have all the rest. I may not have what I want to have, but I have all the desires in there. I might not have it yet. How can I get this desire? So this is born out of the faith that comes from hearing about these transcendental personalities who have no material desires at all. There's nothing on this side. Only the spiritual. Yes. 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 But also, that is Radha Nandeshwar. And Some people say Landanishwar, and probably yes, Landanishwar. The mood of some kind of place. Yes, shortly before. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes, yes. Not necessarily the separation, conjugal is there. Conjugal and the mood of separation are different. But certainly they were there in Vidyapati and Chandidas and Jayadeva and Swami also. But not being understood. These were their, these great personalities, their literatures were oftentimes misrepresented as some kind of a mundane sensual sensitivity. So Mahaprabhu opened that up, you know what I mean? It's like people had treasure, but it wasn't accessible by the world. It was not accessible through these personalities. It was already there, yes. Because it's eternally there. So yes, thank you. That's an important point. The point is that Jayadeva Goswami, he was writing about the pastimes of Gautama Krishna for the pleasure of the Jagannath, and also Chandidas and Vidyapati, who are two writers whose works and poems Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to read and hear all the time for his own inspiration. Thank you. Coming from a true Omiya. Anything else? All right, so we should finish here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. Hare Bol.